Welcome to the LDN Radio Show, brought to you by the LDN Research Trust. I'm your host, Linda Elsiegood. I have an exciting lineup of guest speakers who are LDN experts in their field. We will be discussing low-dose naltrexone and its many uses in autoimmune diseases, cancers, etc. Thank you for joining us. This show is sponsored by Dixon's Chemist, who are the experts in LDN and associated treatments in the UK. Dixon's Chemist are the most cost-effective for LDN in all forms within the UK and Europe, maintaining safety standards far in excess of what is required. Why would you choose to get your LDN from anywhere else? Call 0141 404 6545 today to speak to their LDN experts. Today my guest is Dr. Annette Johnson from Germany. Thank you for joining us today, Annette.
Thank you for having me.
Could you tell us how you got into medicine? Was it something you wanted to do as a child?
As a child, I wanted to go to Africa to help children that are not in such a wonderful position that we are here in Europe and in Western countries. And then I found, in the beginning, I thought it's only in Africa what have problems, and we don't really have problems in Europe, only luxury problems. And then I found out that's not true. We have lots of problems in the Western countries, which is the chronic diseases and the suffering that nobody cares anymore because we tell our patients they are not curable at all. And that was the cause why I felt so much pity for our system also, and I wanted to help and change things.
Mm-hmm. And when did you hear about LDN?
Actually, I was so much into fibromyalgia and borreliosis and autoimmune patients that I was searching all over the world to find solutions for my patients. I'm caring for about 700 fibromyalgia and around 600 borreliosis patients and around 500 Hashimoto patients. So I found Professor Paul Sendermand in Los Angeles, who's an endocrinologist and who does very successful therapy with guaifenesin. Guaifenesin is a plant, is a raisin actually, that was used by American Indians to cure spirochete infections like syphilis or borreliosis. And he found that this would be very effective to get rid of all these painful humps and lumps, all in the soft tissue of his fibromyalgia patients. And doing so, 10 years now around with my patients, and I found that sometimes it's a little bit painful to get rid of all these humps and lumps, and I need something to reduce the inflammation, the interleukins, a little bit faster than the guaifenesin needs. And so I was very happy to hear from your radio and from your book and to start this with some other doctors in the area who are pain specialists and who were experienced in this therapy.
Mm-hmm. And how long ago was that?
I think this is 3 years going by now. Mm-hmm. But already I would say I can see success after some weeks, sometimes actually after the first weeks also. And I also found a good psychologist effect on the mood of my patients. So I'm really very positive and about using this on patients who are so chronic sick then that they are disappointed, that they have no hope anymore. And sometimes I find them to improve very fast.
Right. You said that you have, and it's amazing, 700 patients with fibromyalgia. How many of those have you now got on LDN?
I don't want to disappoint anyone, but this is only, I would say, 50 patients that I were choosing for the LDN if things don't work out well. But some of the patients go well only with diet changes, with meditation techniques, with sclerotherapy, with Atlas therapy and chiropractical interventions. So I'm sort of doing my worst cases on LDN, and that is why it's only 50 from 700, mm-hmm. because it's such a good help in the hard cases, in the difficult cases.
Okay. So from those 50 patients, how, you know, what have the outcomes been?
In the percentage, I did some research before our interview. I think it would be 90% success, and maybe this is because I'm choosing them very carefully. Mm-hmm. Because I heard from colleagues, I heard that their success rate were lower, around 60%, and maybe it's because I'm separating my patients in who is best fitting the criteria, why my success rate is higher.
And how do you prescribe LDN? Are you using capsules, liquids, sublingual cream? And how do you titrate the dose up? What is the starting dose?
Yes, I use a compound pharmacy that you recommended in Aulendorf, in south of Germany. And my first recipe is a 0.5 milligram, a 1 milligram, and a 2 milligram capsule on one recipe. That means that the patients only have to come to me twice and then can do the anamnesis and everything, the second one to get their recipe after they could ask all their questions, after they have understood the system, after they have read your book. And then we keep in contact every 2 weeks by telephone or personally, and then they increase their dosage until the 4.5 milligram if they use it, if they need it, or they can stop if they don't need such high doses. Many of the fibromyalgia patients only use and need very low doses to get quickly improvement.
Mm-hmm. I have found with speaking to fibromyalgia patients and LDN prescribers that people with fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome, this group of patients are very ultra sensitive to all medication, and LDN, even though it's a very low dose, is still, you know, a prescription drug. I mean, do you find you have to start very low, and do you find they react to it negatively initially?
I think they react very well if we start with 0.5 milligram. And if I remember 2 cases who couldn't even tolerate that. So we made them buy empty capsules and divide it into 2 pieces. And so they could start with 0.25 milligrams, and this worked out very well. And in the end, when they started it and when they increased the dosage over 4 weeks instead of 2 weeks, they could in the end all come to around 2 milligrams.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's really interesting, because we have some patients who want to give up. You know, it's not agreeing with me. The side effects are a problem. You know, I'm going to stop. But I have had many pharmacists and prescribers who say that they can get success with all patients, providing you use a very low dose and increase it very slowly. You know, some people need a longer gap to let the body get used to that dose before you increase it further. And some people never have a higher dose than, say, 2 milligrams. it's really individual to each patient, don't you think?
Yes, and that's so wonderful, isn't it? That they can, we can give them the confirmation that in the end they'll find their individual doses, and in the end they can increase it if they just take their time. And actually also, if I tell about 10% that didn't work well at the last years, if we are still in trying this 1.5 years, because then when they quit it, and although they told me it wouldn't make a difference to take it, once they quitted it, they noticed that it did make a difference. And then they came back and said, "Doctor, please give me a new prescription. It did work, and I didn't notice, because then I did so much other things. I was so much in social life back again, restoring my house or doing the garden, that I didn't notice that I was so well." And this is an effect, I don't know the psychological name after it, but that we think we're not well, but if we stop the medication, we realize that we have been well and we want to go back on the medication. Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting?
It is very interesting.
Did you hear about that?
Yes. And when I was really ill and every week I had a new symptom, I knew I had a new symptom, you know, numbness went from, you know, my toes to my ankle to my knee to my hip to my shoulder. And you noticed every single thing that was going wrong. But when things start to improve, it's suddenly a case of, oh, my left side isn't as numb as it was before. The pins and needles isn't as bad. But you don't remember it daily like you do when things go wrong. And I think you psychologically probably think, I'm okay now. And you don't think about it. It just is something that happens. It's only when you stop, as you say, and all these things come back that you remember.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful? That's why I encourage them to have a little book where they write down their everyday symptoms in a good way. Mm-hmm. We don't call this a pain book, but we call this a recurrent or a healing book. And then they can go and read how bad they were years before, or months, or even weeks before, because fibromyalgia and fatigue syndrome really is not very good in remembering things. So it's really necessary to write things down and then to go back and look how good things work out and how many symptoms have already resolved.
Mm. We do have an LDN app for those people who are English speaking. It's free and you can have a journal, but you can also record sleep, mood, diet, supplements, exercise, set alarms, do graphs and charts and printouts. It's amazing. But it's in English. So if you have any members who are English speaking, they might find that of value and a help. It is on our website, so they could look into that.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
So
isn't it so?
Sorry, carry on.
And in these days where we cannot use medical cannabis or things like this, it's wonderful to have the LDN, to have a very similar effect indirectly on our pain. And I think this is why are people so much interested in LDN, because they are now so much informed on the internet, and they know about the cannabis receptors and about pain physiology much more than they used to do, when they believed only what the doctor said. And in these days, they want to take their health in their own hands. And they come with ideas to their doctors. I just had a patient first time an hour ago. She was suffering from fibromyalgia 30 years. And only she had to do the suggestions to her doctors, what they could do to help her. She never had doctors that gave her ideas that were apart from dual psychotherapy because you just have a depression. And this is so wonderful that we now understand pain and psychology effects much better than we used to.
Mm-hmm. You were talking about medical cannabis there. Do you have CBD oil in Germany? Is that allowed? Because it hasn't got any of the narcotic effect in it. We're able...
Yes, it is allowed, and I'm really recommending it.
Mm-hmm. Because...
But actually, it would be even more helpful to have a little bit of THC in it. But in Germany, then you're not allowed to drive your mm-hmm. car anymore. And yes. This is also not very practical.
But there has been some research and doctors are using both together. And it seems to work extremely well for patients who still have quite a bit of pain with LDM by introducing the CBD oil. The pain minimalizes, should we say.
This is wonderful because, this is wonderful. This is what my patients also say. In these days, I don't know if a lot of doctors also follow and listen. In these days, isn't it our patients that are suggesting things and bringing up good ideas? And it was also patients that brought me on the way and made me contact doctors that already gave it. And you, as a doctor, you always need some patients that bring you on the way. You need nice colleagues that support you and give you the support that you will manage. And that will happen. There will be nothing difficult or illegal behind it.
Mm-hmm. And doctors are very busy. They don't have the time to look at everything themselves and to find out. And if you have a doctor who's willing to listen to a patient giving them new information, that is the way to educate them, isn't it? The busy doctors, when they don't have to search for it, to be given the information is a big help.
It's such a big help what you're doing. And also the Congress and that you make it public. This is so wonderful. And I'm always having the habit and always asking the patients if once they'll be better, if it's allowed to then call their old doctors. And that's what I do. Once they are better, I go and call very nicely their old doctors and just tell them in a very colleague way how we managed to bring the patient back in work. And also it's the insurances that send me patients because they notice they don't have to pay for them anymore because they're going back to work after months or weeks. So this is wonderful to see that in Germany, the government insurance sends patients to my office because they know they'll be helped with LDN or guaifenesin or other methods.
Mm-hmm.
And even the borreliosis, which is so interesting, I'm in close contact to Armin, who also did lectures at the conferences from Augsburg, from Armin Labs, and it's around 80% of my fibromyalgia patients who actually are borreliosis triggered by borreliosis or other tick associated diseases. Isn't that like so astonishing, or how it isn't that bad that we are not finding the borreliosis if we don't use the right tests. And also there was a study 2 years ago from Dr. Klinghardt in immunology that before you do a borreliosis test, you should make a massage on your tendons around all joints to sort of wake them up and bring them out if they're sleeping. And then 1 week or some days afterwards, you do the ELISpot LTT in Augsburg or somewhere else. And then you find if there's borreliosis triggering your autoimmune system or your pain, your facial pain. So as I start to do this, I find very big numbers of antibodies against borreliosis and other tick-associated diseases. And it's wonderful to bring this down and to avoid an autoimmune reaction by LDN then.
So would you say the berylosis is Lyme disease itself, or would you just say that's a co-infection?
I would say it's a triggering disease. If you have the genetics that, for example, you cannot get rid of phosphates, which Professor Paul Sandemann in Los Angeles found, and then you have a tick infection, then everything will decompensate and everything will be bad, and you'll start to get autoimmune and bad reactions. And that's where the LDN comes to. It doesn't replace the antibiotics or the plants that we use or the therapies that we use, but it's keeping us from getting all these other diseases like MS, like Hashimoto, like ALS, like other infections, mm-hmm. like other autoimmune diseases from infections. And I find it very useful, and I have lots of borreliosis patients. This is actually, the borreliosis and fibromyalgia are really so common in south of Germany.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we have a lot of patients who have Lyme disease who have been told by their medical professionals that it's all in their head, they're just depressed, there's nothing really wrong with them. So that automatically makes them very depressed, not being believed when they can't get out of bed, they can't function. Do you have patients who have chronic Lyme disease that you treat?
Yeah, because they are getting fibromyalgia from borreliosis. They're coming with fibromyalgia symptoms. I'm giving them the massage, or they are taking the massage from their massage therapist. Then I'm doing the Armin labs, Elispot LTT on borreliosis, and then I find very high numbers. Actually, it was the case in my case, and I had a very bad borreliosis last year. It was 16, unbelievable. And then I could just help myself with some physical therapies, some photons therapies, and some electric therapies, and I took LDN in the end. After that therapy, I just wanted to try it on my own, and I found that it was very useful, and that I'm not having nightmares or something, but very vivid dreams. How to call them? I have very nice dreams. It's really interesting, and it's nothing scary about it, but it's wonderful to dream. And also, it helps with my Parkinson patients who are not dreaming anymore. It helps with my dementia patients if they're not dreaming anymore, because a deep sleep with dreams is so important to heal your disease, all diseases that you have, actually.
People talk about the vivid dreams with LDN. I feel robbed. I never had any vivid dreams, but I've heard so many people tell me about their dreams.
But even if to tell about what I dreamed might seem like a thriller, I've never felt scared. How to describe this? I had vivid dreams, but I wasn't scared. It was just interested. It was like watching a video. Mm-hmm. It was not scary at all. And I never felt that I should stop it or something. I think it's a wonderful thing, and I want to take it 1.5 years just to find out what it does with my body. I'm so convinced about this therapy that I just want to take it.
Mm-hmm. Just getting back to the Lyme disease patients, how long does it take? I know you said they have fibromyalgia. Would you say for somebody who's been diagnosed with chronic Lyme, who's got multiple problems, for if they came to see you to start to feel better? How long would you say that would take with using all your different therapies as well as LDN?
And the earlier they come, the faster they are healed. Mm-hmm. But already if they have it for a long time, we can help within half a year.
Wow. That's good.
Yeah. This is because it takes so long to initiate all the things and to get your vitamins and the internet and things. If people come from somewhere else, very far away, I have patients from Egypt and from Portugal and from Scandinavia. So if they come from far away, I have to be very fast. And I'm starting all things parallel because I don't care which of the things heals in the end. I just want to heal. And then I'm faster. Sure. The more they can do parallel, the faster they'll heal.
Okay. Well, that's really interesting. Now, how do people get hold of you? What is your website?
Actually, I don't know, but if they do Annette Johnson, .de, my email number is praxis@annettejohnson.de.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And do you have a waiting list?
Sure, but this is only 3 months, I think.
Okay. So if anybody would like to come and see you, the sooner they can make that appointment, the better, if you have to wait 3 months.
Yeah, but if they come in the beginning of the week and they have had their massage already, then we could start take the early spot LTT and know if it's borreliosis triggered, that why they are so fatigued or why they are so painful. And then it will be just faster. Mm-hmm. So we can take blood in the morning about vitamins and borreliosis if they had their massage in the week before. And then they don't need to come so often, but maybe 3 times or so.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, thank you very much for being our guest today and sharing with us your experience.
I appreciate it so much. And thank you for your work. Take care. All the best.
Thank you.
This show is sponsored by Dixon's Chemist, who are the experts in LDN and associated treatments in the UK. Dixon's Chemists are the most cost-effective for LDN in all forms within the UK and Europe, maintaining safety standards far in excess of what is required. Why would you choose to get your LDN from anywhere else? Call 0141 404 6545 today to speak to their LDN experts. Dr. Annette Johnson asked me to add, I may not have pointed out enough how important it is to start the titration with a compounded product instead of diluting tablets. Local pharmacies unfortunately suggest this in order to avoid high costs of the raw material and the extra effort. Patients naively believe that diluting a 50 mg tablet is accurate at doses of 0.5 mg, which it isn't. I found incorrect fillers and self-dilution the reason why I initially didn't receive the results I do now. Some colleagues are still not aware of this. Any questions or comments you may have, please email me, Linda, L-I-N-D-A, at ldnrt.org. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for joining us today. We really appreciated your company. Until next time, stay safe and keep well.